Over the course of 2 years, U.S. program senior researcher Allison Parker traveled to prisons throughout the United States, interviewing youth offenders serving life without parole. In the following excerpts from those interviews, youth offenders reflect on their crimes, their trials in adult court, their experiences in adult prison, and their attempts to come to grips with the fact that they will spend the rest of their lives there.
Capital murder, I ain't killed nobody. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to shoot nobody or kill nobody. Don't want to shoot nobody, kill nobody. Can't do no time. I can't do that type of time.
I got 30 years on the attempted murder. I got life without for the capital murder and 30 years for the attempted murder.
So then they put me in some county orange and locked me up. My mom and my sister, they was crying about it.
That's when I wanted to really murder someone. Then that's when I couldn't believe it. You know, I was telling everybody, you know, I don't want nobody. They was writing, don't write me. I might not never get out of prison. If I do, I don't know when it's gonna be. So, you know, I couldn't deal with it. I couldn't deal with doing all that time, having that time, being so young. I couldn't deal with it. You know.
You know, I was young back then. Life didn't exist beyond like the age of 20 to me back then. You know, I was like, if they give me that much time, I was just not wanting to die. I was planning on not even wanting to take like 40, 20 years. You know, I was wanting to not. It was just the fact that I didn't want to just live that long in prison. I mean, I did not like what I was seeing here about prison.
I got to Vaughan when I was 15. And it was always, they treated me like an adult. I felt like a kid. And, you know, I had people come up to me and, you know, older people, you know, they treated me like a kid, you know. I wasn't tall, skinny person, you know, young looking. Probably had a little bit of mustache on.
The only thing I remember asking me was, you know what a jury is, you know what a judge is, and you know what a lawyer is, or a prosecutor. Anybody knows that? And I said, yeah. And they said, okay. All I heard was them, okay, he's competent to stand trial.
My lawyer was he was running for prosecutor at the exact same time as my trial. Whenever I come back, like the second day of my trial, I come back and I hear his commercial on the radio saying he's not going to let these people get away and all this stuff.
I was filled with adults. Went to the, they didn't have no yard call. The day room was the day room where we go play cards and stuff. I went in there with them. With the grown-ups, you know, I was the youngest one there. I was the only one there.
In the cell I was in this big cell with 8 beds. I was the only juvenile, so they couldn't put anybody in there with me. And the lights never went out, and I was in there for 9 months. And I didn't know that I had supposed to got some wreck and a lot of things that they violated that I never knew anything about because I didn't know. And
when I'm at the prison, you know, I was around all that up all night, you know, violence and stuff, and you know, I was like, man, I gotta get out of this. I gotta get out of this prison. I can't do no life sentence here at that age, and gotta end it. And, you know,
I done seen dudes get raped, just you know, where they get choked out and you know, get knives pulled on them and get raped. Yeah, I done seen a lot of it. Like me and you sitting before each other now, bearing witness to it. Yeah, I done seen it personally. You know.
But as the years started going by, and there were, I see people that I went to school with that came up here. As they started to leave, it really started to hit. Boom! Like, look, man, you in here for life.
But yeah, you did commit this heinous crime. You killed someone who didn't deserve to die. I knew the right and wrong at 16 years old, but, man, when I commit my crime, I'm not thinking straight. And it's not something where I said, I want to kill her. I want to make sure this is done. It's not that way. But yet, that's the way my life stopped.
At the time when I did it, I mean, I really didn't think what I was doing was wrong. I mean, it seemed like, I don't know how to explain it. I mean, it wasn't right, though. I mean, I see that now. Like I said, I'd like to be able to, I mean, used to that, I'd have nightmares about it. I would think about him. But I think now, though, I mean, if he was still alive, I'd at least like to give him a chance just because I feel bad about what I did.
The person I was at 15, I'm no longer that person. I don't know. I'm not that person anymore. You know, I have my morals set up now. Even though that I did have to grow up, basically, inside the prison.
You know, I mean, the kind of job I want to do now, I want to work for search and rescue. That's a driving desire that I have now, because the life that I took, you know, propelled me to that. And I sit and I think about it all the time. I say, man, I'm going to get out there, get on one of the search and rescue crews, you know, because I owe that. I owe that. You know, that's like an obligation.
But I truly believe that I can be a productive citizen. No, I'm not at the point where I'm institutionalized. I'm afraid to return to society, or, oh, I can't make it, because I know I can. I know I can. And I would.